reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, chapter entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinibhari, text number 78. Yadakshesharitan dhyayan karmannachinute sakrit sati karmani avidyayam bandha karmannanatmana. Translation: as long as we desire to enjoy sense gratification, we create material activities. When the living entity acts in the material field, he enjoys the senses, and while enjoying the senses, he creates another series of material activities. In this way, the living entity becomes entrapped as a conditioned soul. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada: while in the subtle body, we create many plans to enjoy sense gratification. These plans are recorded in the spool of one's mind as bija, the root of fruitive activities. In conditional life, the living entity creates a series of bodies one after another, and this is called karma bandhana. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, Yajyartat karmano netra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. If we act only for the satisfaction of Vishnu, there is no bondage due to material activity. If we act otherwise, we become entrapped by one material activity after another. Under these circumstances, it is to be supposed that by thinking, feeling and willing, we are creating a series of future material bodies. In the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, anadi karma phale padi bhavarnava jale. The living entity falls into the ocean of karma bandhan as a result of past material activities. Instead of plunging oneself into the ocean of material activity, one should accept material activity only to maintain body and soul together. The rest of one's time should be devoted to engaging in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In this way, one can attain relief from the reactions of material activity. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, this is September 1976. At that time, one magician came there, and all the devotees gathered in Prabhupada's room. The Gurukul children, then Prabhupada's friend Bhagatji, everybody crowded, and the magician started performing his tricks for the pleasure of Prabhupada. And he was pulling out things from Prabhupada's ear, and he was showing different colors. But some devotees didn't like it, because he was making Prabhupada the object of his magic. But Prabhupada was enjoying, he was laughing. And finally, after some time, Prabhupada suddenly became grave, and he asked, "You are making so many things disappear. Can you make birth and death disappear?" He said, "That I cannot do." Then Prabhupada said, "I can do that." And then Prabhupada took the leader's position, and Prabhupada then explained, and he humbly sat down, and then he explained how to entangle oneself, how to free oneself from the entanglement of birth and death. And Prabhupada is following perfect parampara. Sri Narad Muni is also advising King Prachinibharishat how he should also disentangle himself from the cycle of birth and death. And in today's verse and purport also, Prabhupada is saying that the process is devotional service to Krishna and absorption in Krishna, which alone can relieve one from this entanglement. In fact, a few verses later, as this chapter is concluding, Narad Muni will emphatically declare that only by devotional service the living entity can re-establish his relationship with Krishna, and he can overcome this cycle of birth and death. And this theme is very emphatically explained even earlier in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially when Srila Vyasadeva, he gets this transcendental vision. And through his perfect vision, he gives us two very important things. First, he identifies what is actually the root problem, the real problem. And secondly, he provides the permanent solution for all these problems and suffering. The episode begins with Shaunaka Rishi asking Suta Goswami that you have told us that Narad Muni has instructed Vyasadeva. Now, what did Vyasadeva do after Narad Muni finished his instructions and he left? So, Suta Goswami replies that Vyasadeva was sitting on the bank of river Saraswati on the western side at a place called Shamyapras, and through his meditation, what did he see? Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam chatat apashrayam. He saw apashyat purusham purnam. He saw the supreme personality of Godhead through the process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male. So therefore, perfection is possible through devotional service. And Vyasadeva saw Krishna, and also he saw mayam cha tat apashrayam. He also saw Krishna's various energies, and he also saw maya under the shelter of Krishna. Mayam cha tat apashrayam. Thus he saw Krishna and he saw various energies of Krishna in relation to Krishna. Once one man told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that, Prabhupada, last night I dreamt of Krishna. I saw Krishna in my dream. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, did you see Maya also? He said, no. And if then you didn't see Krishna. So Vyasadeva had this perfect vision. He saw Krishna and Maya. And then, if Maya is under the shelter of Krishna, under the control of Krishna, a question arises, is what is the function of this Maya? What does she actually do? That is explained in the next verse by Suta Goswami. He says, Ya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartam tatkritam chabipadhyate. Yaha sammohito jiva, the living entity is in complete illusion. Atmanam trigunatmakam is completely entangled with these three modes. Actually, it is transcendental. Paropi manute nartam tatkritam chabipadyate is actually transcendental, but because he has identified himself with the body, he is now entangled by these three modes and is constantly bombarded. So now Vyasadeva is identifying the real problem. Generally, when we see modern medicine or scientists, when they find the cause of suffering or problems, they generally address only the immediate cause. They can't see the remote cause. Like for example, if somebody has malaria, doctors might say it is caused by a female Anopheles mosquito. Or cancer is because of certain degeneration of cells. But this is the immediate cause. A devotee asks, goes into the remote cause. Why these cells behave this way? Or why does that Paramatma in that ant, that mosquito, inspire to bite me only, that I got malaria? Why me? And then he realizes this is because of karma. So he is himself responsible for this. Just like when the arrow is piercing, the front part of the arrow is the immediate cause of hurting us. But actually the center of that arrow carries a weight, pushes. So similarly, a devotee understands that whatever is the immediate cause, the remote cause, the actual cause is his own karma, is being bombarded. But a devotee goes one step behind also. He asks this question, why did I behave in such a way that I got this karma? And there he understands that is because I wanted to enjoy independently of Krishna. And therefore, I am being entangled in this whole network. So the historical origin of all problems is this, desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. And then the living entity is bound by the three modes and is constantly baffled. Mogasha, Moga Karmana, Moga Jnana Vichetasa. And then his frustration increases and increases. Like the example is given of a poor man. He might want to enjoy with a rich girl who has a very rich boyfriend. Any attempt he does to enjoy will be completely frustrated. And even if he says kidnaps her or something, then the rich man is, people will come and bash him up. There is nothing he can do. So the jiva is like that poor man. He is unqualified. He has no qualification to enjoy Krishna's property. But as he attempts to do that, he is kicked. He is badly battered and bruised. He is constantly frustrated in his attempts. And then these various modes, like the colors, like we have yellow, blue, red. There are different colors, but these colors do not generate any emotion on their own. Like if you have pots of paint kept, they are there. But when an artist comes and he mixes them nicely and creates a beautiful painting, then it creates some emotion, it creates some feelings. Similarly, Krishna and his agents, who are expert artists, they have made this world in such a way that such a painting is created. These modes are worked in such a way that we are attracted to this perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And we are enticed by the false charms, the avaranatmika shakti. And we are kicked, the prakshepatmika shakti of Krishna. So through this, the living entity is constantly frustrated. Actually, once Isolina Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in one lecture, that the problem is not so much that we are being bombarded by material modes and we are entangled here. The problem is that we are thinking this is nice. That is a bigger problem. Like you are saying, that the problem is not so much that we are trapped in a raging fire. The problem is we are thinking that this fire is enjoyable. It is not so bad to be poisoned as it is to voluntarily drink poison. For the living entity is in this situation now. Atmanam Trigunatmakam is entangled in these various modes, is bombarded. And the worst thing is, he is comfortable. He thinks he is comfortable. Somebody might ask, why does Krishna put the living entity like this, in such an abnormal condition? So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, he answers this question, that actually this is a thankless task of the material nature. Just like sometimes a father, he appoints a tuition teacher or somebody to rectify his disobedient child. For the tutor might punish, chastise the child, but it is under the supervision of the loving and caring father. Similarly, the living entity is punished by the material nature so that he wakes up to his senses. Prabhupada also gives the example of the king and the criminals. How sometimes the king comes into the prison and he pleads on the behalf of the criminals and then they are relieved. So he says Krishna has come to this material world and is pleading through his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. So if we accept them and we follow the directions, we can also be free from this world. Like a child might get some nice sweetmeats from his friend and nice pampering, and he might come home very happy. And he might never bother to tell his parents how he has such a nice friend, how his friend loves him so much. He'll never say that. But next day, when that friend slaps him hard, then he'll come running to his mother. And he'll say, "Mother, mother, he bit me." Similarly, when we're attempting to enjoy and we are getting things we want, we don't think of Krishna. We don't think of surrender, of taking help. So Krishna employs this material energy to beat us up. Prabhupada gives the example of the donkey. How the donkey can be made to walk by three ways. First, you show him a carrot, then he might walk. Or else, you shout very loudly in his ear, "Come on donkey, get up, walk." And even then, if he doesn't understand, the third technique you have to adopt. That is, take a stick and beat him. So Prabhupada says, so show the living entity the spiritual world, show him the beauty of the spiritual world like the carrot. If he is attracted by Krishna, Krishna's beauty, then he can be made to walk to the spiritual world. Or else, shout at his ear, preach heavily, come on, wake up, conditioned soul. So that can be heavy preaching. Even then he doesn't get attracted, he doesn't rectify himself. Then we have the material energy, which has the trishul, which is the stick, and through these miseries, he punishes, the material energy punishes the living entity and forces him to take shelter of Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada writes that it is the same job. What the material energy is doing and Krishna, they are actually doing the same job. Material energy is kicking from below. That, so somebody is stuck in the well, for the material energy is kicking from below, and as he is being kicked and he is looking up, there is Krishna and Krishna's representatives up who are waiting to pull him up. Come on, Prabhu, come out of this material world. So this is the way Krishna works through his various energies to rectify the conditioned soul and take him back home to Godhead. His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, he recollects how he became a full-time devotee. He had a lot of doubts and apprehensions. Is Krishna consciousness really good? Things like that. So one day he decided to sum up all his questions in the form of one question. And he thought, I will ask Prabhupada whenever I get an opportunity. So when Prabhupada was in London in 1972, Sachinandan Maharaj got an opportunity to ask this question. So he said, Prabhupada, why has Krishna created Maya? Because it is so troublesome. Maya is always troubling us and giving us so many ideas. We are not able to enjoy Krishna consciousness. We are not able to love Krishna. And he says, Prabhupada didn't answer the question. Prabhupada simply shouted. He said, Krishna didn't create Maya. You created Maya. Because you wanted to enjoy independently of Krishna. And Prabhupada gave a heavy dose. And then Sachinandan Maharaj says that he was so shaken by the answer that he felt so guilty that I am enjoying so much, I am gone away from Krishna, that immediately he surrendered and next day he joined the temple and he said, yes, enough is enough. So now Vasudeva has provided the problem, he has explained what is the problem, he has seen the problem, and now Sutta Goswami says he is providing the solution to this problem. What is the solution that Srila Vasudeva offers? Anartho pashamam sakshat bhakti yogam madokshaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. All the anarthas, all the superfluous things can be mitigated. How? Bhakti yogam madokshaje. By rendering devotional service to Krishna, we can be relieved of all these miseries. But the problem is, lokasya janato vidvams, people do not know this. So the solution is, bhakti yoga, to surrender to Krishna. Mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante. If you surrender to Krishna, then things become easy. But many times, lokasya janato vidvams, people, actually they know within. But because they are frustrated in their endeavors, there is a big covering on their intelligence. Like one devotee was saying that there was one tourist, American tourist who came to Delhi, and one Indian guide was showing him all the places. So the American asked, what is this place? So the guide said, this is Taj Mahal. So the American asked, how long did it take to make this? So the guide said, it took 20 years. So immediately the American said, you Indians are lazy people. If we Americans were there, we would have done it in 10 years. This fellow got very frustrated and angry, but he kept quiet, he didn't say anything. Then they went ahead, then they saw that huge Qutub Minar. See, he said, what is this? So the guide said, this is Qutub Minar. It took 30 years to make this. So immediately the American said, I told you Indians are all lazy bums. If we Americans were there, we would have done it in 15 years. So he kept reducing half wherever they went. So this Indian was boiling, but he kept quiet. Finally they came to that huge red fort. So the American asked, what is this? So the guide said, I don't know. But what is this? You are a guide. You don't know what is this huge red fort? If I don't, I will find out. Because yesterday evening when I came here, this was not there. So like that. So material nature is like that. She always undermines our achievements. And she always she embarrasses the living entity at each opportunity. And the living entity being embarrassed and being frustrated at every step, he overlooks the obvious reality that I need guidance, I need to take shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada says, he feigns ignorance, this is causeless unwillingness, just refuses to take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, recognizing this problem, Srila Vyasadev, what did he do? Lokasya janato vidvams, chakre sattvata samhitam. He gave this samhita, he gave this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, so that people can be rectified. They can re-establish their relationship with Krishna. In the preface of Srimad Bhagavatam only, Prabhupada writes that the society has advanced so much, but there is a pinprick somewhere at the social body at large. Because otherwise, why is it that on such trivial issues there are so many big quarrels? This means that there is some serious problem. And therefore, Prabhupada is saying, we are presenting this Bhagavatam, which is a cultural presentation for re-spiritualizing the whole human society. Therefore, following Vyasadeva's line, Srila Prabhupada has presented this Bhagavatam, which can help a living entity relieve himself from all these unwanted miseries. His Grace Bhavanand Prabhu was here sometime back, and he was narrating how he would be serving Prabhupada, and sometimes Prabhupada would say certain things to him, and he would be so excited, he would come outside and tell all the other devotees, you know, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said this. And then months later and years later, when he was studying Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, you would find exactly those statements in Prabhupada's purports. So one day he went and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I find this kind of thing, that whatever you have said, it's there in the purports. So Prabhupada said, yes, I have given everything in the purports. And he said that how when you are writing the first canto, Prabhupada said, I was not sure if I would live to write the second canto. So whatever I had to say, I put it all in the first canto purports. So Prabhupada has given us this treasure, this wealth, which can help a living entity cross over this ocean. Of course, somebody might think, oh, the problem is this, that we are away from Krishna, solution is devotional service. So is it that simply by practicing devotional service, the dormant love will awaken? So Prabhupada writes in the purport very clearly that although this is important, but ultimately it all depends on Krishna's causeless mercy. As yesterday Krishnanand Prabhu was saying, that we are practicing all this chanting, this is simply to attract mercy of Krishna. It's not that by these endeavors we will go back to Godhead. Prabhupada gave a beautiful example in this Bhagavad Gita purport about a sparrow. How one time a sparrow lost its eggs in the ocean. So she requested the ocean to return the eggs. And the ocean refused to comply. And then, taking it as a challenge, the sparrow kept on taking out water from that ocean in an attempt to dry up the ocean. And everybody laughed at this endeavor. But this attracted Garuda, the king of birds. And he saw that his sister bird is suffering so much. So he came and personally ordered the ocean to return the eggs. Or else, Garuda said, I will take up the challenge. Then immediately the ocean gave back the eggs. So Prabhupada says, what is our Krishna consciousness? Our attempts are like the small eagles, small birds, sparrows, eggs, which are lost in the ocean of Maya. How can we retrieve it by our own endeavor? It's not possible. But by sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, chanting, hearing, doing our services day in, day out, then this might attract the mercy of Krishna, who might then order Maya Devi to relieve this devotee. Of course, somebody might again challenge, is it practical? Now you are talking about love for Krishna and all these things. But I am a practical man, I am a businessman, I have practical problems. How will this Bhagavatam help me? Sutta Goswami says, Esyam vaishruya manayam krishne paramapurushe bhakti rutpadde pumsa shokamoha bhayapaha. Of course, bhakti will develop in the heart, bhaktir utpadyate pumsa, but what will happen is, as an insignificant byproduct, shoka moha bhayapaha. Shoka, lamentation, moha, illusion, and bhaya, fear will also be vanquished. Every living entity is, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the primary symptom of material disease is this. Everybody is having lamentation, always lamenting about the past, whatever has happened, and illusion about the present, and bhaya, fear about future, what will happen. So always he is entrapped in this, and he is completely after this mirage of illusory things. And all this very existence is full of fear. Our life is based on this Pancha Mahabhut, five great elements. But these very factors can be cause of fear and death. Like earth can cause earthquakes, fire can kill somebody, water can cause floods, or air is so necessary, but the same air can come in the form of a typhoon and destroy everything. And here is so much required, space is required for surviving, but the material world is such that if there is a stampede, the same ether will cause us to be destroyed. So we might have the wealthiest man in this world, and he might be surrounded by the best of his friends, the wealthiest of his friends, but still such a person will also lie dead, and he will be surrounded by costliest kind of medicines, which will be administered by the best doctors in the best hospital. Everything will be the best, but he cannot survive. This is the nature of material world. She destroys, she humbles everyone. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport that, very nice statement he writes, he says, living entity is in complexity, is in a very complex situation, because he is accepting this illusory engagement as an actual fact, and therefore he becomes a victim of different kind of isms. Capitalism, communism, socialism, altruism. He thinks that these isms will give that peace which is actually looking for. But, Prabhupada says, the foolish politician might go on doing peace conferences for thousands of years, but unless he re-establishes his relationship with Krishna, he cannot be happy. He cannot come back to his original position of experiencing real ananda. Like a child, if the child is lost in the marketplace and somebody comes and gives him the best of foodstuffs, best of things, the child will not be happy. He will continue crying till he gets his mother. He has to take shelter of his mother. Therefore, when Prabhupada was in Harvard University, which is supposed to be the best university in the world, Prabhupada said a very funny story. He told the students that one time it was announced that Himalayan mountains is going to give birth. So everybody came to see what Himalayan mountain is going to give birth, and they all assembled at the foothills of the mountain, and suddenly as they were waiting, they saw hundreds of rats coming out of the mountain from the below the mountain. And then as everybody was looking at Prabhupada, what is this strange story, then Prabhupada explained. Prabhupada said, you are from Harvard, all of you are from the best university in the world, but if your education is not going to help you establish your relationship with God and develop loving relationship with God, then all your education is simply like the offspring of an Himalayan mountain. It has no value. You are promising big, big things, but nothing concrete is coming out. So Vasudev has done this, he has identified the problem, he has given the solution. And what did he do after giving the solution? It is explained, Shukam adhyapayam asa nivritti niratam muni. Sutta Goswami is saying that Vasudev compiled this Bhagavatam, then he taught this to his son, Sukadev Goswami, who was already well established in self-realization. So immediately Shaunaka Rishi requests him, just a minute, you are saying that Bhagavatam has been compiled by Vasudev and he taught it to his son, but why his son? Because his son is already established in self-realization. Now, Bhagavatam helps us be relieved of all these miseries, and that is okay. But Kasyava Brati Metan, Atma Rama Samabhisat, Sukadev Goswami is Atma Ram. He is already completely satisfied. Why should he hear about Bhagavatam so much? Then, Sukadev Goswami says, the famous verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a detailed exposition to Sanatan Goswami, and also with Sarvam Bhattacharya, he discussed on this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantapi Urukrame कुर्वन्त है तो किम भक्तिम इत्तम भूता गुणो हरि आत्मा रामस्तु मुनयो. इवन इफ समबडी इज लिबरेटेड निर्ग्रंथ अपि उरुक्रमे, इवन इफ इज कंप्लीटली फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल मटेरियल एंटैंगलमेंट्स, स्टिल इज अट्रैक्टेड टू कुर्वन्त अहेतुकीं भक्ति, इज अट्रैक्टेड टू रेंडर अनअलॉयड डिवोशनल सर्विस टू कृष्णा, बिकॉज इत्तम भूत गुणो हरि. कृष्णा इज फुल ऑफ वंडरफुल ट्रांसेंडेंटल क्वालिटीज, सो इवन अ परफेक्टली लिबरेटेड पर्सन कैन बी अट्रैक्टेड टुवर्ड्स कृष्णा. एंड देन प्रभुपाद गिव्स द एग्जांपल्स, डिफरेंट एग्जांपल्स, हाउ फोर कुमारस दे वर अट्रैक्टेड बाय द तुलसी लीव्स, फ्रेग्रेंस ऑफ तुलसी लीव्स फ्रॉम द लॉर्ड लोटस फीट. हाउ Sukhdev Goswami is attracted by the pastimes of Krishna. How Rukmini was attracted by hearing about Krishna. How the cowherd damsels, they were attracted by Krishna's beauty. How the elderly ladies in Vrindavan, they were attracted to Krishna in parental love, in Vatsalya Ras. And the male members in Vrindavan, they were attracted in friendship to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is all attractive. And for devotees, he is more attractive. Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan in 1976, and when he was there in 1968, the quarters were on top. The old farm was there where Prabhupada was staying, and the deities were there. But now when he came in 1976, Prabhupada's house was made downstairs, and it was a long journey up, and it was very austere to travel long. So Kirtananda Swami decided that Prabhupada should stay here in this new place, and he should take rest because he was also not keeping good health that time. And Prabhupada came, he sat there, and in his room there was a photo of Radha Vrindavan Nath. He saw the, he kept looking at the photo for a long time. And then he said, I want to see the deities. So Kirtananda Swami gave different explanations that, you know, it's very tough and you can't go. Then Prabhupada said, no, try something. Can a jeep be arranged? Then Kirtananda Swami said, the jeep also can't go. It's very tough ride. Then seeing Prabhupada constantly insisting, finally they made the arrangements and Prabhupada came through this journey to take darshan of Radha Vrindavan Nath. And that time Radhanath Swami was the pujari there, and he says that was one of the best moments of association of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, a pure devotee, is always attracted. So this is the easy technique for relieving ourselves of all problems, developing attraction to Krishna. Lord Kapila Dev, he gives a very easy meditation technique. He says in the third canto, हासं हरे रवनता किल लोक तीव्र शोकाश्रु सागर विशोषणमत्युदारम् सम्मोहनाय रचितं निजमाय यस्य भ्रूमंडलं मुनिकृते मकरध्वजस्य. He says, a yogi should meditate on what? हासं हरे, on the smile of Krishna. And this way, शोकाश्रु सागर विशोषण, the lamentation of the living entity is so much that you can, from his tears, you can make one ocean. Shokashru sagara. But this sagara, vishoshanam, this will be completely dried up when he is attracted to seeing Krishna's beautiful smile. And then he says, and this smile of Krishna is created by Krishna's own internal energy. And one who meditates on this, and brumandalam munikrite, one who meditates on Krishna's arched eyebrows, he will be completely relieved, because this attracts Makaradvaja. Cupid himself is attracted by this beauty of Krishna. So when a devotee fixes his attention on Krishna's smile, Krishna's beauty, he is relieved of all problems. And then Kapila Dev, the next verse, he says, Dhyanayanam prahasitam bahuladaroshtha basarunaita tanu dvijakunda panthi ध्याये स्वदेह कुहरे वसितस्य विष्णोर भक्त्या द्रयार्पितमनान पृथक् दृक्षेत. He says, then a devotee should meditate on prahasitam, Krishna's laughter. When Krishna laughs, his whitish teeth, which are like jasmine buds, beautiful as the jasmine buds, they get the hue of the reddish lips of Krishna. For this beauty captivates a yogi's mind. Bhaktya dryarpita mana na pratak didrikshet. And because he is absorbed in devotion to this beauty of Krishna, he doesn't hanker for anything else. Therefore we find that Raghunadas Goswami, his mother was insisting that they should tie him up. with ropes. And his father said, yes, God, the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He is attracted to Krishna. When the wealth which is equivalent to Indra, and wife who is as beautiful as the apsaras of the heavenly planets, she can't keep tied him up here. How can simple ropes tie him up? And we have the example of Sridhar Kulavich. He was not willing to trade with the wealth of heavenly planets, with even a position in Vaikuntha, because that was his attraction towards Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in that purport that you can't understand all this by logical arguments, because the attraction to Krishna is so overwhelming that a pure devotee does not hanker for anything else. He is completely immersed in Krishna. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is important because two things. One is, it removes all the suffering of the conditioned soul. And even if one doesn't have the suffering, secondly, it attracts the hearts of a liberated devotee also. So both ways, Krishna Katha is most needed. Of course, some of us here might say that we have no attraction towards Krishna. What is the hope for us? So Sutta Goswami says, no need to worry. We will develop, if you sincerely hear Bhagavatam and study Bhagavatam, we will develop the same benefit which Sukhdev Goswami got. What benefit Sukhdev Goswami got? He says, Adhyagan Mahad Akhyanam Nityam Vishnu Janapriya. Sukhdev Goswami was studying Bhagavatam, he sincerely studied it, and then he became Vishnu Janapriya. He became very dear to Vishnu Janas, to devotees of Krishna. So a devotee, when he studies Bhagavatam and he attempts to develop attraction towards Krishna, he becomes dear to devotees, and devotees also become very dear to him. And then it's a concomitant factor that he will also develop attraction towards Krishna. In that purport, Prabhupada writes, devotees and impersonalists are like transcendental competitors. They don't like each other. And Sukhdev Goswami appeared to be an impersonalist. But because he was attracted to Krishna Katha, he became very dear to devotees. So if we also develop attraction to here, then we become dear to devotees. And then we also develop attraction for Krishna. It's both ways. Saravam Bhattacharya was impersonalist. And when he became a devotee, he became very dear to devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, in the role of a devotee in his pastimes, he was causing so much anxiety to everybody. He would catch Murari Gupta and he would tease him. He would tease Gadadhar Pandit, that give a definition of mukti, and then he would tear it to pieces. Then Mukunda would always run away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And once he caught Mukunda and said, don't worry, one day I will become such a great devotee that even Brahma and Shiva would want to associate with me. Like that, he was teased. And once Shivas Thakur finally asked him that, Nimai, you should give up all this. This is not the goal of life. And then Nimai Pandit, in a very humble mood, said, very soon I will take shelter of a bona fide guru and then I will become a Vaishnava. And then we know how ecstatic pastimes took place and how Mahaprabhu, in the role of a devotee, developed unlimited attraction towards Krishna. But this is the glory of Krishna consciousness, that we get the favor and goodwill of devotees. Because ultimately that is what matters. Because that is what pleases Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they endeared themselves to Prabhupada so much that Prabhupada was willing to comply with their requests. So we could see this, how Prabhupada's disciples were very dear to Prabhupada also. When Prabhupada was one time very sick and he was scheduled to go to Paris from London. And in Paris, devotees had all come from different parts of Europe, because there was a big program arranged in Paris temple. Deity installation, then Brahman initiations, a lot of festivals had been arranged. And suddenly Prabhupada sent a message that saying that I am sick, I won't be coming. So immediately Bhagavan Prabhu, who had made a lot of arrangements, they had purchased a new place, they had bought new wallpapers, many things they had done. So he immediately took the next flight and came to London and he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please come. Prabhupada said, I will dictate a message, you read it out to the devotees. Then he kept insisting, Prabhupada, then he knew that Prabhupada has a cold. So he said, it's very hot in Paris, so your cold will go away, you please come. Then Prabhupada was not impressed. Then he said, it has not rained in Paris for so many months, so it will be good for you. You please come. Then again Prabhupada was not coming. Finally, out of exasperation, Bhagavan Prabhu said, Prabhupada, actually we have a lift there, elevator there, so you don't have to climb the stairs. Then Prabhupada smiled. Prabhupada said, finally said, okay, your proposals are reasonable, I will come to Paris. And then he looked at other devotees and said, after all, Bhagavan is the supreme controller. Who can refuse? So like this, Prabhupada had wonderful reciprocation with his disciples. And this makes a devotee's life perfect. And then, Suta Goswami is also in this mood when he is emphasizing on why we should hear Krishna Katha in association of devotees. So one would naturally expect that he would now start describing about Krishna Katha. But he says something very interesting. He says, Parikshitota Rajarsher Janma Karma Vilapanam Samstam Chapandu Putranam Vakshe Krishna Kathodayam. Now I will start Krishna Katha, but I will begin by explaining first about Parikshit Maharaj, then his Janma Karma, and then about the renunciation of Pandavas. He doesn't directly jump into Krishna Katha, direct Krishna Katha. So Prabhupada writes there that Suta Goswami is saying this specifically for those foolish readers of Bhagavatam who directly want to jump into 10th canto and hear about Krishna. The first 9 cantos are as important as the 10th canto, because Prabhupada says Krishna and his pure devotees, they are on the same plane, because Krishna is not without his pure devotees and his pure devotees are not without Krishna. They are interlinked. So topics about pure devotees are also Krishna Katha. So we should be eager and we should be wanting to associate. And in one place I read, Prabhupada writes that this shelter of devotees must be taken as the highest goal of life for any aspiring devotee. That's what we find Narottam Das Thakur also singing in that bhajan, that Tadera Vaishnav Sevi Bhakta Jane Vas Janame Janame Ho Ye Abhilash, that my desire life after life is to be in the shelter of those devotees who are servants of the 6 Goswamis. Because these 6 Goswamis, they had no other business except to engage in Krishna consciousness. H.I. Gosayar Jabe Braja Jane Vas, when they were staying in Vrindavan, Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Kurila Prakash. They were constantly talking about Krishna. They were enlightening everybody about Krishna. Therefore, shelter of devotees is a must. Like one time it is said that our dear friend, actually not our friend, our neighboring country, they were desperate to fight against India. So they were desperately employing people in their army and air force. So they would catch young people and say, come on, sit in this fighter plane and just start. So they would say, I don't know anything. Simple. The general would say, it's very simple. Just press the red button, the engine will start. And press the yellow button, the plane will take off. Come on, start. So the soldier said, that is okay, sir, but how do I bring the plane down? So the general said, that you don't worry, that Indian Air Force will bring you down. The point is, we might be wanting so desperately to advance, go high in devotional service and progressing full speed ahead, but without understanding how we should be under the shelter of devotees, then Maya's Air Force will bring us down in an unfortunate way. Therefore, we should be absorbed in Krishna Katha and understand that what Prabhupada has given us is the perfect process. And here we have Prabhupada and his pure representatives who are spreading this mission. One time when Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago, 1975, that was the time when one of the biggest controversies was there in ISKCON. Because Prabhupada had spoken something about women's issue. And in Chicago, Philadelphia, everywhere, there was so much controversy. But Prabhupada was so immersed in Krishna, he was giving Bhagavatam class in the temple morning and he was speaking on Ajamil's pastime. And he said, Ajamil kept his youngest son's name Narayan. And Ajamil said, Narayan, come here. Narayan, go there. Narayan, sit. Narayan, do this. And as Prabhupada kept saying, Narayan, 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 he suddenly went into a trance. And he was like a statue. So, in the Lilamrita Sarasvati Maharaj writes that Prabhupada was in complete ecstasy and Krishna was revealing to all of us how he is reciprocating with his pure devotee who is always absorbed in Krishna. So this was a wonderful reciprocation between Krishna and his pure devotees which we could all behold. And therefore, our hope is to take shelter of pure devotees and in their association, practice Krishna consciousness. Because in the association of devotees, we not only get knowledge about Krishna, but also our faith in the process increases and also we get practical guidance at the time of distress. So thus, when we engage in Krishna consciousness in this manner, our lives become perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. any questions or comments? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.